Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this third Sunday of Lent. Congratulations on remembering to turn your clocks ahead. I'm very surprised to see so many bright and shining faces. Just a couple of announcements. There is a Women's Association meeting after worship. Still time to bring in some cookies or other baked goods for the craft show. Craft show is coming up next Saturday. So, yeah, now's the time to get your baking on. I also wanted to let you know about the One Great Hour of Sharing. There is a little informational leaflet in your bulletin, and if you want a fish bank, there are fish banks back there. I'm personally using a fish bank. This is our Lenten Easter giving for Presbyterian Disaster Presbyterian Mission and Presbyterian Disaster Assistance and things like that. So as you may have read in the Valley and from my letter, I'll be saving up some of the funds that I'm not spending during my Lenten practice, and I will be giving those to the One Great Hour of Sharing on Easter. There was also another fundraiser for Anchor Point, which it's counseling ministry for the sort of the North Hills area. I have put up on the back bulletin board some other mission and volunteer opportunities if you're interested in any of those. But the Anchor Point fundraiser, they get a matching grant of like $27,000, dependent on the number of donations, not the amount of money raised. So if you have $10 to sort of show their way, that can help an additional 55 families in the area receive mental health care. Don't forget, we have Bible study on Wednesday at 1:30. And next week, I'm going to need you all to break out your cardigans, because next week is Mr. Rogers Day. It's the 143rd day of the year, and 143 is a very special number to Mr. Rogers, because it's the number of letters in I Love You. We're going to have a nice little Mr. Rogers service next week, so bring your cardigans and anything else that makes you think of Mr. Rogers. Any other announcements that... Easter flowers. You got to order your Easter flowers by next Sunday. There's some good ones. There's tulips. We got tulips this year. So, anything else that's not in the bulletin that I forgot? All right. With that, let us gather together, proclaim our readiness with our call to worship. In this place, the community of faith is reminded of the promise, God's love endures forever. In spite of our impatient grumbling, despite our attraction to the shadows, Christ's light shines in us. When we think our hands are empty, when we have no music in our souls, the Spirit fills us with glad songs and creates us for good works. Let us rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Sing a New Song Unto the Lord.
Sing a new song unto the Lord.
Trusting in divine mercy, we confess our faults before God and one another by saying, Living water, we confess that we are often running on empty, feeling dry and drained, parched from the demands of the world. We confess that we turn to worldly ways of filling our needs rather than seeking your wisdom and guidance. Turn us to your ways. Turn us to your teaching. Turn us to your work.
To love our neighbors as ourselves.
And following your commandments, we are fulfilled, renewed, and restored. In your name, water of life, we pray. Amen. Jesus said, Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. Come, drink deep, and know that you are forgiven. Amen. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated for our choir's anthem.
Thank you.
now time to lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and one another. Continued prayers for Arlie as she recovers from surgery, although she is here today, so we're excited about that. Continued prayers for Kathy Enrieto. She was transferred to a short-term rehab facility. She's doing well. I met with her on Thursday. She's doing well. They just need her to have a little more strength before they'll let her go home, I guess. We're all confused about it, but she's doing well. Prayers for Joey D'Amico, who had some health scares this earlier this week. He seems to be doing well, but continued prayers as we sort of figure out what's happening. And then Faye asks for prayers for her coworker's father, who's recovering from viral encephalopathy. It is a big word. Yeah, if we could keep all of those people in our prayers. And then please pray with me. Great God, in you is more love than we can imagine and more grace than we can fathom. You have shown yourself in Jesus Christ as a God who meets us where we are and loves us as we are. We are glad for this day and grateful for your many gifts. You bring good things into our lives, more than we can name, more than we can number. You give us the bread of life, sustaining our souls and feeding our deepest hungers. You accompany us on our way. Thank you for your abundant faithfulness. Our hearts are full with many things today. Disease and death and pain and sorrow are constantly among us. The journey through these days is marked by uncertainty and heartache. We are frequently overwhelmed by the needs around us and within us. Some need healing, some need encouragement, some need comfort, some need assurance. We all need hope. So we turn to you, asking you to hear our prayers and grant what we need for the living of these days. We pray for our nation. We pray for renewed commitments to our common life. Refresh us in the values of your heart: justice, righteousness, compassion, mercy, peace. Help us to find a unity of purpose as citizens and neighbors. We pray for your church in places near and far. May the waters of your grace continually refresh and empower us to extend the love of Jesus to all people. We pray for the Presbyterian Church, for the clarity of our witness and the success of our mission. We pray for our congregation, for our life together, and for our efforts to follow in the way of Jesus. Hear us. Hold us. Heal us, help us, for the sake of our Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, He Looked Beyond My Fault.
Grace be my son of grace.
be seated. All that we have is a gift from God. In faith and gratitude, we return now a portion of what we have so abundantly received as grateful heirs of the promises of God. God of grace, you provide for all our needs. Accept these offerings as signs of our gratitude and bless them to further Christ's ministry and mission among the poor, the despairing, and the destitute. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading is Exodus 17, 1 to 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do for this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Loving God, fountain of every blessing, open us to your life-giving word and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that the living water may flow through our hearts, a spring of hope for a thirsty world. Amen. One of my very best friends, longest friend, we met in Sunday school when we were in kindergarten. She was managing a law firm out in California a while back, and she was absolutely miserable in this job. We would grumble together about the way that no matter what she did, she was routinely criticized. She was paid unfairly, to put it mildly. She wasn't offered any sort of benefits. the hours she worked were so ridiculous. It made me grumble because it was really hard to find ways to stay in touch with her. The office was also, it was in a sort of a dangerous part of the city, and I worried about her, and, you know, it had been broken into several times, and she was afraid to go there alone, especially after hours. And then finally, 7 years ago, about, give or take, she was offered a position at a big global tech company that I'm sure you're all aware of, but because she is in legal, I can't tell you what the name of that is. I don't want to brag. She certainly doesn't. But my friend is a very big deal. Today she's constantly praised for her phenomenal work and her work ethic. She has this gorgeous office with a beautiful view, snacks, beverages, a full cafeteria, which is about anything you could ever want. She's compensated very well. She reaps the benefits of full medical, dental, vision. Can you believe they offered her pet insurance? Along with 401k contributions and stock options, she gets at least 5 weeks of paid vacation every year. And then on top of that, this year, she was also given a full consecutive month off for rejuvenation. You know what, though? She still complains. One of our favorite things to grumble about together is the company's candy of the month. There are these jars throughout the campus, like on every floor, like on each wing, everywhere. These jars that are just like magically stocked with different types of sweet treats every month. It's a different treat. But honestly, often the candy is lackluster at best. One month it was these. It was these like health brownies that were made with flaxseed, millet, and mint. And another month it was like pixie sticks. And then I think one of the more recent ones were just like, you know, those penny candy, those just hard candy sticks. Yeah. Never once has it been Reese's Cups. Not once. There are also these refrigerators on each floor that are stocked with different beverages. But wouldn't you know, the mango lime seltzer is only stocked on the floor above her office. So, like, she has to, like, walk down the hall and push a button and take the elevator up to the 8th floor. It's like they want her to die of dehydration there. Her life is so hard. I know what you're thinking. She does too. Oh, boo hoo. What each of us wouldn't give for a job where we're making six figures with health benefits and retirement contributions. I'm just, honestly, I've asked her if the company would consider hiring a chaplain, because what a gig that would be. And considering how miserable she was in her previous position, like, what right does she even have to grumble? You know, as miserable as her old job made her, she did have really close work friends that she enjoyed seeing. She enjoyed working with them. They were people of the same age and background as her. They understood her. They were people that she looked forward to seeing every day. And this job right now, most of her colleagues are like 20 to 25 years younger than her. And it's a real struggle to form, you know, actual connections. And considering the amount of time that she spends in the office, it gets lonely sometimes. This position is also much more stressful. My friend manages several teams of people, and she's responsible for making sure the company doesn't get sued for enormous amounts of money. The job requires her to be up to date on political, economic, ecological, and artistic news from across the globe. She truly does enjoy the work, and she does know how fortunate she is. But there are still legitimate occasions for grumbling. Who puts millet in a brownie? In our scripture passage for today, we listen to the Israelites whining and complaining. But remember, just before this, they were slaves in Egypt. They had no access to their own land. They were forced to work for the Pharaoh. When they asked for their release, the Pharaoh consistently said no. And when he eventually, finally, said yes, he immediately changed his mind and chased after the Israelites through the Red Sea. How quickly it seems the Israelites have lost their trust and faith in God. They were just singing victory songs about dodging Pharaoh's army and rejoicing in the escape from drowning in the Red Sea. And now they're arguing with Moses, demanding water to quench their thirst. This is all his fault, by the way. He's the one that took them out of that lush, fertile land and guided them into this arid desert. Yeah, they may have been slaves in Egypt, but they weren't faced with death from dehydration. Moses, at a loss, just at a loss, throws up his hands. Like, what do these people want from him? Why aren't they trusting God? But Moses recognizes that the Israelites' grumbling is legitimate. Thirst is a genuine physiological need. So Moses pleads with God. Tell me, God, what do I do for these people? They're going to kill me. You put me in this position of leadership, so you have to help me. You have to help all of us. And God listened to the grumbling. And God told Moses, go to the rock at Horeb. Strike it with that very staff you used to part the Nile, and water will come out. Lo and behold, when Moses struck the rock, clean, crisp, cool water flowed from that rock. Give us a drink, the Israelites ask. God hears them, repeatedly responds, and calls Moses to bring forth water from a rock. But do the people know what they truly thirst for? Yes, water is a necessity for life. Without it, the Israelites would surely perish. But the people also thirsted for more than just physical water. Their grumbling also indicated a need for more, a need for reassurance that God was still with them. In each of our lives, there have been times when we have felt frustrated and lost in the wilderness. And during those times, our fear tends to get the better of us. But our culture doesn't really like fear. So we grumble. And sometimes those grumbles seem really unimportant. like other people have it so much worse, don't they? I'm here to tell you that just because other people have it worse doesn't mean that you're not allowed to grumble, that your concerns aren't legitimate. And that goes for other people who grumble to you as well. There's likely something deeper underneath that grumbling. A cry, wondering if God has abandoned us. A crying out, asking for God's assurance. Jesus himself taught us to pray, giving us full permission to ask for what we need, to request of God our daily bread, to ask God to walk with us. There is no prayer too silly, no grumbling too ridiculous to bring to God. God listens to all of the grumbling of the Israelites, the grumbling of Moses, the grumbling of my friend, the grumbling of the church with decreasing numbers, the grumbling of a Steelers fan after a loss, my grumbling when the alarm clock goes off an hour earlier than usual. God patiently listens to it all. And then God provides for us. I mean, it's not usually the solution we expected or quite what we had asked for. So then we continue to grumble. And God continues to listen. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, O God, our help in ages past. Before we go back out into the world, let me offer a charge and benediction. Beloved people of God, I invite you in the name of Christ to continue to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and penitence, by prayer and fasting, by works of love, and by meditating on God's word. May the grace, hope, peace, and love of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with us all now and forever. Amen.